Child, these dating streets ain't it. Point blank, period. It's hard out here for a sexy, accomplished, intelligent girl boss to find a man that will meet my energy and put a ring on it. I sometimes wonder, am I the drama? Why does it seem to be so hard to date as a Black woman? And then when you add the whole age factor, dating over 40, it gets even more complicated. But still I rise. I have a girlfriend who is a coach and a strategist who helps women every day navigate the dating world. And what I like about her approach is that it's not cliche dating advice. She helps women realize their dating potential and produces results, y'all. Please give a warm welcome to my friend and favorite dating coach, Cheryl Grace.
Hey!
Hi, everybody!
Welcome!
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Oh, we're great to have you.
I can't wait for this conversation.
Me either.
Wait, and don't be telling all my business.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. No, I would never.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as the founding CEO of Powerful Penny, LLC, Cheryl Grace brings over 30 years of executive corporate leadership and transitional coaching to the table. Her company, Powerful Penny, LLC, empowers women to confidently and courageously create a balanced life they love at work and love and at home. When it comes to love, Cheryl successfully dated and intentionally landed a husband after the age of 50. They had a beautiful wedding, y'all, that people are still talking about 8 years later. And today she is here to share how she did it and how you can too. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Cheryl Jackson here with Jennifer Shayla Bowers and Taylor Coward. And today we will be cutting up. We're talking about dating as Black women, the complexities thereof, and tips and tricks that might just land us a Rick Fox, y'all, by the end of this episode.
Ooh, not a Rick Fox.
Okay, come through, Rick. Not Slick Rick. Okay, but Rick Fox. Okay, more after the break.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
What is it like dating right now as a Black woman? Some say there's pee in the pool.
Not pee in the pool.
Pee in the pool. Okay.
I was not expecting that either.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Pee in the pool. What's it like, Jennifer? I mean, you know.
So is everybody here single?
I'm single.
This one's single, but in a relationship.
In a relationship,
Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just unmarried.
You what? How long have you been in the relationship?
Almost 5 years.
Ooh, you need to see me. Do you want to get married?
Later. I'm only 25.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Why does she need to see you?
Well,
you said
you
that
know,
like you knew something.
Because when you extend a dating period, mm-hmm. if you do want to get married, hopefully you guys are working toward the same goal. Like he knows. We want to be married by, I don't know, what you're, 32, 30?
Yeah, we have a target.
Okay, you have a target.
Yep.
All right, so you're not just out there just dating and he's not clear.
Oh, never.
Okay, good.
No.
I love that. So many women will date and not ask for what they want. Mm-hmm. They won't ask the guy, like, are you even interested in being married? Mm-hmm. And that should be a conversation you should have by the third date.
Mm.
Yes, I said the third date.
That's kind of awkward to bring that up on
no,
the third
date. No,
it's
not, because the way you do it is you simply say, I'm dating right now, I'm having fun, but I'm dating with the intent to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, is marriage anything that you're even interested in?
Okay.
Because if it's not...
Go
you
away.
Know, yeah, basically,
bye.
we need to like just be friends. And I'm not trying to collect friends right now.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Well, I'm divorced and single.
Okay.
And I have a different take on what I would like for my next relationship to look like.
Good.
Which is not marriage. I imagine like companionship where we both really like Oprah and Stedman, you know, where you both, I don't know what their relationship is like, but I like the idea of this significant level of independence. And then, you know, occasionally we cohabitate, you know, yes. I would like companionship, but I want freedom.
And that is perfectly normal, especially coming off of a divorce. How long have you been divorced?
This will be the 5th year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's actually normal.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 years.
I've been divorced longer than you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Is it a competition?
Yeah. Like, how long you been divorced?
I've been divorced.
Well, I'm wondering why I want to be married. Well, and she doesn't. Okay, baby, that's the reason why. I've been divorced longer.
How long have you been divorced?
It became official in 2015. Okay. So how many years is that?
I'm not
That'll
great
be going on nine years.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know.
9 years?
And it adds up. The time just,
quickly.
Like, before you know it, I was divorced for 16 years before I got really intentional about finding what I wanted. So I love that you are, Jennifer, intentional about knowing what you want. But even if that's what you want, sharing that on the third date, because you may be out with the guy who wants marriage. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to string him along hoping that it's going to turn into something more than it is if it's not.
Right.
So having that conversation by the third date with whoever you're going out with helps set expectations. Mm-hmm. And if neither of you are feeling it, then you can part and go ways, and that leaves you free to date other people. But I think you should be dating multiple people anyway, not sleeping with. But dating multiple people at once. Some eyebrows got raised over here.
You got Taylor clutching her pearls.
Because I think right now we're in hookup culture in 2024. And so I don't think that's a perspective a lot of people are hearing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just was like, whew, you know, I don't know when that will be again. I mean, I think... dating with the intent to marry is making a comeback. I think that was gone for a little while, like during hookup culture.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a...
So if you're not interested in getting married, then, you know, date as many people, sleep with as many people as you want. But if there is an intent to marry, generally, and this is just a generality, so don't write hate mail. When you sleep with someone right away, I'm talking like maybe first date, right? You met at the club or wherever people are meeting right now.
But
right?
What if you like know them? Okay.
Cheryl's like, well,
I take it we're going into some personal what ifs right
what
now.
If you like, ask for a friend.
She's like, I have a friend who.
If you know them, so if you know them, then you've known them and it's not just you just met and sleep
exactly
with them. Okay, so that's a little bit different.
Just asking.
But were you, you know, was your friend looking for a one night stand and expecting that, or were you expecting that?
I don't know. It wasn't
your
me.
Okay.
It's
so let
friend.
Me just
she
say
asking for a friend.
So let me just say to you, for
an
all the friends
friend.
Out there,
her
that
name's Cheryl too.
It is easier for us to, like, fall into bed with somebody than to ask them a simple question.
Isn't that something, girl?
Isn't that something?
What is that about?
I don't know, but I run across it quite often with my clients where they'll say, well, you know, I didn't want to offend him, but you don't mind him being inside your body? Like, ask a question. I see the eyes again over there.
Look,
you're so
Miss Grace, I got huge eyeballs. You're going to see them a lot. But I do. I am curious what experience or people that you talked to or things you went through. How did you land on the third date to be the guidepost of having the marriage talk?
Yeah. So that's intentionally for women who are 35 or older.
Okay.
Who are really looking to get that ring.
Got it.
Right. So in your 20s. Not something you necessarily need to worry about if marriage is your goal, right? Because when we're dating in our 20s, that's all we're doing. I couldn't keep track of the number of men I dated in my 20s. Not slept with, but dated. Just clarifying that in case my husband is listening.
Right? Listening. Taking score. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but in your 30s, especially, that's when the baby blues start to hit and you're thinking about having babies or having kids. And so you want to be a little bit more intentional about it. Mm-hmm. And the older we get, the fewer fish we have in the pond to choose from. And so that's why you want to make sure you're having this conversation by the third date so you're not wasting your time and you can go after those other fish.
Mm. Less time to play around.
Mm-hmm.
So like time goes.
Time flies.
Nice. The older
after
you get,
34,
it just blinks.
Pew, it's gone.
Takes off. But dating several people, not sleeping with, but dating several people once just sounds exhausting.
It can be. I tried it. I dated three guys at once, and I used it as data. So my background is in research, and so I use them as data points. And so I would get up in the morning, and I would send all three of them the exact same text.
I love the form letter.
Good morning, right? How's your day looking? Blah, blah, blah. And you can tell how people respond, whether or not they're into you or not. Mm-hmm. And you get to compare it in real time with the other responses that you get. Mm-hmm. And it also keeps you from putting your heart out there and feeling some kind of way when the guy you really like doesn't respond right back in a couple of seconds or a couple of hours or a couple of days, right? Mm-hmm. But you'll notice that the other guy, probably the one that you're least interested in.
That's always the case.
Good morning, beautiful.
Right? Okay.
The sun has risen.
All right.
It shines.
Let me pray for you.
Okay. Right. So I use it as collecting data points. Mm. The more guys you are dating.
Let me tell you, I want somebody that's going to drink my dirty bath water. So I.
But do you, though? Do you, Cheryl?
Girl,
yes,
you don't.
I want to be adored. What are you talking about?
I think you want to be adored, but I also think.
I want my space, but I want to be adored.
Okay. Because, see, we start clarifying, right? So the older we get, the more settled in our ways we get, and the more accomplished we become, the more we need somebody who's going to challenge us just a little bit.
Mm.
Just a little bit.
But if you came up out of one of the situations where you were challenged on a 24/7, you look burned out on
this
that.
This is true. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try a different model.
Okay.
Around.
Okay.
You want the bathwater model.
Right. Bathwater model. Right.
Take that, please, Alex.
Warm bathwater. Right.
Warm.
What about you, Miss Jennifer?
What's that? I'm sorry. Bathwater
model or the other
one?
What
works for you? The multiple dating at once?
I think about it like, hey, I enjoy going to the museum with this person. I like going to concerts with this person. I like traveling with this person. Right now, it's kind of like everybody, there's not somebody who I do everything with, mm-hmm. you know?
So you're dating multiples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like when you say dating, it's like such a interesting phrase now, you know, because I was saying to this guy, one of my friends, and also I find that everybody ends up in the friend zone with me, like, and not in a bad way. We just end up developing really good friendships and we end up being friends, you know, and I guess, you know, the sort of traditional components of dating that I appreciate, which is like, hey, I'd like to take you out to dinner, you know, or I'd like to do this thing with you. People don't ask in the same way, you know, so there is some like traditional things that I appreciate about the dating experience that just don't exist anymore. It's just like, hey, do you want to meet for a drink? You know, mm-hmm. rather than like, I don't know. I just want to feel courted, right?
I know.
Yeah. If that makes
courted.
Sense.
Yes. Yes. I like that.
Yeah.
Want to
yeah.
feel courted.
Can I send you $30 for lunch?
Right.
We had that
That's
conversation.
That's not enough.
$30 to
$150 for lunch.
Cash after $30. Okay. For lunch. I love that word. Let's talk about that.
Courting.
Courting.
Yeah.
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 So I love when women are able to be the yin to a man's yang, right? Where you are not afraid to show your feminine side. Mm-hmm. And that brings out a lot of that male energy where they want to woo you. Historically, what we'll see in older generations is once you hit a certain level professionally, mm-hmm. you give off an aura that you got everything taken care of and you don't need a man. And some women even say that, like, I'm not looking for a man. I don't need a man. I make money. And it's not about whether or not you physically or, you know, financially need the guy, it is making him feel like he can take care of you. And that's not always financial. But if you put those barriers up as if, you know, I got this taken care of, I made the dinner arrangements, I did this, I did that. If you're doing all the things and you're not giving him a chance to lead and guide you, that's where a lot of guys like kind of fall off because, well, you don't need me. I had a client, she was talking and she thought she and the guy had hit off and they were texting and having the conversations. And then he said he was going out of town. And when he came back, he never called. Mm. And so I said, call him and find out why. You need data points. Mm-hmm. Call and ask. So she called him and she asked, like, we were getting along so well. We were texting routinely. And then you just fell off. And he goes, you just were always talking about how busy you were. Mm-hmm. I didn't think you had time for me. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know that she was even putting that out there.
Yeah.
So what are you putting out into the universe? Because then that's what you kind of get back.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
There's just so much gaslighting going on out there.
Period.
Narcissism going on out there. I didn't even know the term narcissism until after I was divorced.
Yeah, I had one of those too.
I didn't know what it was. I just knew I was like, I felt off kilter the entire time. Mm-hmm. I was constantly like, did that just happen?
Mm-hmm.
But, and is
gaslighting too.
Yeah. So the reason why I'm saying this now, that triggered me when you said, when he said that, oh, I just, you seem too busy.
Some of it is projection.
Yeah,
That actually happened to me recently.
Yes.
I was at dinner with this guy and he, all of a sudden, he was just like, I'm exhausted, right? And I was like, huh. I was exhausted 45 minutes ago, but anyway. And so then he sends me this message and he goes, hey, you know, I really enjoyed you. It seemed like we had a great conversation and I'd really like to see you again. But it just seemed like maybe you weren't interested, you know?
Mm.
And I was thinking to myself, no, what? Like in every moment that I'm in, I show up to enjoy the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like regardless of the other person, I choose the way I want to experience an environment, right? So I don't let other people's energy dictate how I'm going to enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't feel that way. I was asking questions, being engaged in the conversation. And so when he said that, I was kind of like, huh, okay. Well, I wish I would have said it first, but anyway.
Did you ask him what behaviors you demonstrated that made him?
No, because it's back to sort of this narcissistic, you know, he was projecting what he was feeling on me.
Yeah, right? You were tired.
I was tired, but I'm like, I wasn't tired.
Yeah, like, and he proclaimed it.
Right.
Right.
You're the one who said you're exhausted.
Go to bed.
And I also, I don't,
right. Go to bed.
Exactly. I'm like, one, I don't take things personally. Yeah. If you say you're exhausted, you're a grown man, you must be exhausted. We should leave. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And also, if you are saying you don't tell me how I'm feeling,
yeah,
right? I have been through that before where someone tells me how I'm feeling. I'm mature enough to let you know, hey, I'm not interested in having this conversation anymore. Let's leave.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I wish I would have done that 45 minutes before. But anyway.
And waiting until to text you later is also interesting.
Yeah.
Because in the moment, he could have said, hey, are you okay? Or
right,
everything cool, mm-hmm, if he really noticed it.
Right.
But like, it's a little strange to backtrack and later on say, it seemed like you weren't feeling it.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this question. And let me ask you something. So as it relates to him having been able, he had a chance to say it right there in real time,
sure,
and he chose not to.
Mm-hmm. Or he did. He said he was exhausted, right?
Right.
For whatever reason.
But I feel like he could have checked in with you. Like if he felt you really weren't having a good time,
right,
if
yes,
it was actually
right,
about you,
right,
then he could have been like, hey, you good?
Or right.
That never happened, which is what makes it seem like this is a him thing.
Yeah.
Right.
To me. Which also may be his personality.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Which every interaction we have, the person is telling us who they are.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I just believe that we should give them at least three opportunities to have an interaction unless they totally repel us. And I'll tell you why I believe that.
Okay.
At least three times.
You see me I know. My head.
I hear no. Unless, no, you're
totally
done.
Repel you.
Unless they totally repel you, okay. Because the
okay,
first date, they often bring their representatives.
That's right.
Right? And or they're trying to impress you or they're nervous. Guys get nervous
sure,
too.
Sure, sure.
And if we give them the benefit of the doubt, like, okay, he was off tonight. We all have off nights. This was an off night. I'm going to give him another chance. Mm-hmm. And if you see that there's a pattern, mm-hmm. then you know, okay, this is who he is, and I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. But just going out once with someone, and again, unless they totally repel you, because if I had gone out once with my now husband, we probably would not be together.
Yeah.
That first time.
I hear that. But I think also experience is a teacher, right? And I think there are patterns in a conversation that you can pick up on and discern very quickly mm-hmm. that I don't want to spend time with this person anymore, right? I don't want to spend time with this person in this way for this reason. You know, maybe it's, hey, I'll meet you and we can, you know, drink some water.
I'm going to challenge you a little bit on that one too, because that's exactly how I felt about my husband. I'm like, this is too hard. This conversation is too hard. I don't want, you're just doing too much. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just left. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that's who, in my mind, he was. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're so impatient with men. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't have your stuff together. Like, bye. Mm-hmm. And then when we actually started going out on a date, I'm like, okay, this is not the guy that presented himself when we met. Mm-hmm. That I totally blew off and did not. And we did not talk for 4 months after we met. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't see each other. He didn't call. Mm-mm. He had said he was going to call and he didn't call. Right. And so how do we handle it when they say they're going to call and they don't call? It's not that they don't call. That is the secret. It is how you handle it when they do call. Oh, Cheryl would have just totally cursed you out. Like you said, you were going to call me on blah, 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 blah. Boy, bye.
First of all, who this?
Okay. New phone.
Who this? Okay. Because number has been deleted.
Oh, you mean right. The guy who asked for my number back in July and it's now November? Oh,
yeah.
No.
I know this is not you.
Right.
Right.
So, but giving them, because sometimes guys have to clean up stuff too.
Yeah.
You know, so give them that benefit of the doubt.
What turned it around to get to marriage for you?
Yeah, 4 months.
He didn't call for 4 months. The next time we actually saw each other, I saw him before mm-hmm. he saw me, mm-hmm. right? And he was headed to my table where the people who had introduced us were at the table. And so then he saw me and he stopped like a deer in headlights because you could just see it going through his,
crap.
Oh, shoot, this is the woman I said I was going to call back in July. Mm-hmm. And so when he came over, I said, no.
Ooh.
No need. You know, because he was going to, I could tell he was going to make something up. I threw up my hand. And first of all, I said, I really appreciated that cup of coffee you asked me out for, mm-hmm. which he had not.
Oh,
right. So, and then he started to say something and I said, no need. And I put up my hand and I turned my head and I continued the conversation I was having with somebody.
Oh, wow.
He sent me an email. That was on Saturday. He sent me an email.
Sorry. That's
Monday morning that said, you know, it was really good seeing you. And I think it's time we had our first awkward date.
Now, that's a man for you. OK. So
he just came back because he knew
back,
he was wrong.
He knew he was wrong. Took control. Took his little licking. OK. And stepped to you like a man. I like that. That's why we like.
That's why we like him. That's why we like him. Right. But what I thought was he made me laugh by acknowledging that he knew the first date was going to be awkward.
Right.
Right. And that's what caught my attention. And I also had preconceived notions of who he was because he's in the finance business. And most of those finance guys act a certain kind of way. And I was not interested in that kind of a person. But he got me when he said, you know, something about the Sunday Ursher Board Committee. And he said, Ursher Board. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, this is a guy who is comfortable in his own skin and that isn't going to be snooty patootie. So that's how we got from not calling.
That was a big jump.
4 month hiatus.
4 months.
To marriage.
4 months. Yes.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Ask Curious City anything about the Chicago area. Yeah, anything.
My dad was reminded of a cafe on Sheridan called It's Here. So I was wondering if there's any information on the folk music scene in Chicago then and now.
Send your questions to wbez.org/curiouscity. And it could be the focus of a future episode.
I also think, too, that like people are going through things.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's just about timing, you know.
It is.
And so even in the 4 months that maybe you weren't talking, maybe, you know, you said cleaning up, but also just, you know, healing or doing, you know, whatever you're doing, that when you meet this person, you're just, maybe you're just not ready.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you're over a certain age, Taylor, youngin' down there, okay, got plenty of options. You know,
there's so many fish in the sea right now,
I know,
Taylor.
So
oh,
many
my
fish.
Goodness.
I don't
and
want
also,
the fish.
They fresh off the car lot. You know, they only been in this world 25
no.
years.
They're not jaded, jilted,
not
don't
jaded,
have all the baggage.
All the baggage. So
I got my bass already.
You got
yes,
what?
I'm
got
good.
You good, yeah.
She got the big one.
I got my salmon.
So can we talk about it was like being older.
Yes.
Yeah. And dealing with all the baggage and
yes.
the issues.
And particularly after already like kind of been there, done that with mm-hmm. things like marriage and mm-hmm. like, what is that like? Like you said, like I can already know patterns of a conversation. I know patterns of a person mm-hmm. and you can see it and know it already. I'm really interested in that perspective.
Yeah, well, I also don't judge them, though.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying that I pay attention to those things, but I'm not like, oh, well, this person did this thing, so he must
so
be
he
that
must
way.
Be the same. Yeah.
I don't do that. I'm just saying that, like, it gives me, you said data points. It gives me data, right? If he responds to that experience that we had and he was exhausted and then he puts that on me, that's something I don't tolerate, right? I don't tolerate someone projecting what actually was you,
yeah.
you know, which means that there's going to be some level of, you know, conflict in our conversation if that continues to happen, you know. And
you know,
so
particularly
yeah.
because we are, well, let me speak for myself. Okay. I am running out of time here. I don't have a lot of time to waste. So I want to know, what are the red flags? I need a checklist, ma'am. Okay. Red flags. I need the yellow flags. And then I need the green flags. Like, red flag is, you know, a man of this age, especially a black man
uh-oh.
Who is,
here we go.
You know, number one sought after person, not being able to sustain a relationship more than a year, like through their history. Mm-hmm. Okay. That seems to be a red flag.
That's a flag.
Okay.
Although it could just be they haven't found the right person because mm-hmm. maybe we haven't found the right person. So when
pink
some
flag?
Of my clients pink flag
not
right?
red but pink
yeah, yeah.
some of my clients say I hate it when a guy says, so why haven't you ever gotten married, like there's something wrong with them, right? And so we can't go into it with that same assumption that there must be something wrong with him mm-hmm. because he hasn't mm-hmm. Been in a long-term relationship. But it is a flag of note.
Okay.
It's pink. A data point.
Pink.
Right. So top three. What I mean, I'm looking for some answers.
Yeah, so I think everybody's red flags are different, mm-hmm. right? But I think how people show up, like whether or not they're showing up on time, whether they're reliable, they're stable. I think whether or not they tell you in the beginning who they are and you listen to them and hear them, more importantly, active listening is really important. And so if he tells you he's not interested in being married, don't think, well, you know, he just hasn't seen all this yet and I can change him.
Mm-hmm.
That's
this.
What I did
okay.
with right, all this. That's what I did with my starter husband. He was like, you know, I don't want to be married again. I'm like, oh, he just doesn't know me. Like, right. wait until he knows me.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that marriage lasted 18 months. because the man didn't want to be married. Mm. So listen, just like Maya Angelou says, listen to what people are saying to you about who they are and believe them the first time. Mm-hmm. But I do like how you were talking about patterns, Jennifer, mm-hmm. because patterns are also really very important to take note of as well. And so if he runs hot and then cold, hot, then cold, hot, then cold, mm-hmm. you know, pay attention to that. What you get when you're dating is what you can expect. Mm-hmm. When you get married, you're going to get 10 times more of that. Mm-hmm. So if they're treating you like a queen when you're dating, they're going to treat you like a queen when you're married. If they're treating you like dirt and not like they have to win you over when you're dating, you're going to get more of that when you're married.
Girls, you're about to talk me out of being married, okay?
But older women, we bring so much baggage and assumptions to the table, and we are less likely to give men the benefit of the doubt because we think we know it all, because we've seen it all. And so I just don't need you disappointing me like the last person that I had over here because I recognize all the patterns. And so, like, stop, go away. We need to give guys the benefit of the doubt. And we also need to know what we're looking for versus what we're not looking for. A lot of clients will come in and they'll tell me what they don't want. Mm-hmm. Okay, but have you examined exactly what do you want that doesn't include financial situations? Like, what do you want? Oh, there go the eyes again. What do you want that doesn't include the superficial? Like, what do you need for you as a person to connect with? Because sometimes what we'll do is we only look at he's not tall enough, not rich enough, you know, has too many kids, like all the things. Mm-hmm. And we're not looking at how he makes us feel.
Yes. I'm with you on that. I feel like now I'm looking for a certain kind of person, a certain kind of character, a certain type of energy, like I'm looking for somebody who is positive and adventurous and loving and kind and generous. And it doesn't have to be wrapped in a certain package.
It would be nice.
You know?
But
it doesn't have to be.
Pick her up, okay?
I do. Yes, I do need someone to pick me up.
Pick me up.
I do want that.
Because it's really about safety and security. I do like
now,
feeling
that
way.
Do they have
way,
to like
know?
Be able to pick you up to make you feel secure?
No, I make myself feel secure.
Period.
But I mean, I like the safety is more about just.
Somebody break into the house, he can.
Yeah.
Handle it.
You know, and he could pick me up. I mean,
sturdy.
That's basically
she want a man
mind.
To know how to fight.
She wants
to
break house, Cheryl.
I'm going to say, having a man who can pick you up is nirvana, right?
Yeah.
They're always showing that in the rom-coms.
Yeah.
But having somebody who can pick you up, it is very nice, very nice.
Well, that's my new slogan. Pick her up.
But I love that you had make me feel safe and all of the things that you listed. If I encourage people to write down a list of what they want that is not based on anything superficial. Mm-hmm. So safe, secure. I was looking for the 5 C's. I needed somebody who was a Christian. I wanted to make sure that they had confidence because I have a lot of confidence. They had to have a little bit of charisma so that when we're out, they're not, you know, off in the corner somewhere, but mm-hmm. people responded to them well. We had to have chemistry together. And he had to have character. Mm-hmm. So when I put that out there, as opposed to my old list, which was he had to be at least 6'4", I like red bones, you know, like all the things that I had tried before that got me laying in the fetal position for 6 months on end, it changed the dynamics. And so I started seeing people for those 5 things and the possibilities as opposed to their package. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. My husband's handsome. Fine, you know, but he's not 6'4". And the old Cheryl would not have paid attention to somebody who was not 6'4".
How tall is he?
He says he's 6 feet.
Okay.
I think he's 5'11".
They often are.
But I love him.
Close.
And I put my heels on and we go out and it's okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but not to look, as you say, at the package that it's wrapped in, mm-hmm. but what's on the inside.
Mm-hmm. He is so comfortable with you being the spotlight on you. I mean, he got a good one.
It was intentional. And you can have a good one, too.
So, as we're dating, should we be prepared with this laundry list of things that we need or want or looking for?
Yeah, no.
No list?
No. I ask you to have at least 3 deal breakers. No more. 3 deal breakers. And I mean, and they need to be deal breakers. Like, your deal breakers won't be mine, but he can never have been in prison. That could be somebody's deal breaker. Or some people say they don't want anyone with children. Like, whatever your deal breakers are, you can't have a long laundry list of them. Mm-hmm. Keep it to 3 and make sure they're deal breakers.
And they can't be superficial.
And they should not be superficial. Okay. Correct.
Okay. All right. So give us some quick tips.
Yes. So we already talked about being clear on what you want by mm-hmm. the 3rd date with the person that you're going out with. I want you to flirt more, especially if you're flying a lot. And I'm looking over at your suitcases, you know,
I've
airports.
I've been working on it, girl. I've been working on it. Okay. I've been working on it. It's been working, too. Okay.
What do you do?
Yes. Airports are fertile
you
meeting ground.
You drop your bag.
And you say, oops.
Oops, can you help me?
can you pick up do all the things. You use all 5 of your senses. Your eyes, you touch them. Like, aren't you just a chivalrous person? Or, you know, thank you so much. And you practice with everybody. Because then when you meet the guy that you really want to flirt with, that flirting muscle is already exercised. And so you just gently touch him on the elbow or on the knee or, you know, you bat, you smile, and then you look away, and then you look back at him, right? Count 3 seconds and hold his look. Hold his stare.
And wink, wink, wink.
Wait. Winking, smiling, just waving. Hi.
I have a hard every time with that. Holding the gaze. Okay. I mean, because I'm going to avert my eyes every time.
3 seconds. 3
and
that's
is like
a long time,
magic
but you
number.
Look, you smile for 3 seconds in your head, not
Tracy,
out loud.
Can you do that?
No. 1001, 1002. You can if you practice. You
so
can.
You, okay.
Practice
so
on
I'm
people
so,
you are not interested
so you're,
in.
You're the dude, so. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm supposed to smile, and then I look away, and then I look back.
And maybe
and I'm supposed to look
and wink, girl, and wink.
Or just wave if you don't feel like winking.
I can do it.
Just wave.
Just wave
and smile, or just even a smile. Do you all know how often
smile.
We walk through
that's
the
true.
World without smiling?
Yeah, that's true.
So smile, flirt. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't go in with a preset agenda of what he has to have.
And so where are we going to meet said man?
Amen. We just talked about airports. We also go where the men are. They're at sporting events. You go, if you don't have tickets to the event, go to the sporting bars during a particular event.
Playoff game.
You do that?
Yes.
And it works.
Yeah, and nice hotels.
Nice hotels is another place.
Mm-hmm. Bars at a nice hotel.
Yes.
Bars at a fun restaurant.
Yes.
And that guys like to hang out at. And it's just, to your point, it's just being approachable and laughing and talking about, you know, just being out there.
So they can see your personality coming through, right? It doesn't always have to be like, okay, we're going to meet and we're going to sit down for a call. Like, just be your natural self. And a lot of women, especially the older we get, we don't let our girly girls shine through. I had one woman who was in her 60s. She said, oh, I'm not giggling for anybody. Okay. Well, you stay single, right?
Right. Is that working for you?
Right. How's that working for you?
Right. Okay. Okay. All right.
Because this is the thing, too. Guys don't like rejection. Even they want to approach, but they also want to know that they can approach, you know? And so it's like, even if you are smiling and you might not be interested, it allows an opportunity for a conversation to happen, for you to even determine if it's worth having a conversation.
I feel like I have to really work overtime to make men more comfortable with me.
Well, you're tall, you're striking, you have a aura about you, and so men size things up quickly. And that's why you'll start to hear, oh, she's too intimidating. That's that guy's problem. It's not your problem. So a comfortable man is not going to shy away from that.
Okay. Okay.
Wear that good push-up bra.
Right. Just, you know, push, lift up the girls, pull back the shoulders, and smile. And
smiling
and
it goes a long
wave.
Way.
Just wave. Yes. Smile and wave.
And wave.
And you can practice that in the airport on your way home. Just smile and wave.
Right.
Practice it with the TSA people.
Princess Fingers.
Wave. Okay, so you know? Like, thank you. You do your job so well.
Like,
I must know
right.
her.
Tap him on the shoulder.
Yes.
So strong.
Tracy, you going to do that when you're in the airport next time? Okay, I know. I'm going to try it out. I ain't going to see him again. Okay.
Right. You don't have anything to lose. If you do it right.
If I do it right.
I got more phone numbers.
Wave at the pilot.
Yes. Open the cockpit. I just wanted to introduce myself to you. Thank you for landing us so safely.
Push everybody away.
Wow. That was such an impressive flight. Thank you.
Smooth landing.
Like that landing.
Right. And be you when you're doing it. You don't have to, you know, bring out that representative of yours, but be you, because she cannot sustain you.
That's right.
That's true.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. And we've got important news, y'all. Next week's episode will be our series finale.
I know, right?
When Magic Happens, we'll be taking our final bow Friday, May 24th. We are so grateful for our listeners and the amazing people that help make this show every week. You can help us end things with a bang by giving us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and you can listen to all of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to send us a message, our DMs are open at When Magic Happens Podcast on Instagram. Special thanks to today's guest, Cheryl Grace. Where can the people find you on social media, Cheryl?
They can find me at Cheryl Grace, CEO, Powerful Penny.
And that's Cheryl without the E.
So that's C-H-E-R-Y-L, because, you know, I spell it the right way.
You're leaving something out, but that's okay. Everybody can make their own name the way they want to make it. awesome. Okay, you can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Bowers, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
And you can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Benezek is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is Chief Content Officer, Engineering by Maria Lopez. See y'all next week.